You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Light Show. My name is Kate DeVries. I am the Associate Director of the Young Adult Ministry Office. We are the Catholic Church's outreach to people in their 20s and 30s, both married and single, and it's just a joy to be with you this morning. And I am here with the co-host of our show, the Director of the Office, Father John Cusick. Good morning, Father Cusick.
Good morning, Kate. How are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning to our listeners as well. This is the last full week of the season of Lent.
Yes.
The fifth week of Lent with Palm Sunday arriving on the scene this weekend.
Yes.
And a week from tomorrow, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and then the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
But doesn't it seem like Ash Wednesday was like 3 years ago?
Or just yesterday, depending on what mood I'm in. It happened awful fast.
The reason, folks, we mention that is that in the world in which we live, it's such a fast-paced world that 40 days is an awful long time, and things move on. So I think what we would like to do today for a little bit, because we direct the Catholic Church's outreach to those who are in their 20s and 30s, both married and single, is to use this as a spiritual reflection time. And some of you may know that we are very graced and privileged to take the tape of this one-hour radio show that we do once a month, and we put it on our website, which is yamchicago.org, where it can be downloaded, and people, particularly young adult people who might have an awfully difficult time listening to this at 9 o'clock on a work day, they have the opportunity through the magic of technology to be able to access this, and therefore they can, with all the trendy iPods and other MP3 players, Kate, they can, what is called, download this, and if you're going to the gym to work out, if you're going for a walk or a run, you have the opportunity to listen to the Light Show in another format, and that is the magic of modern technology. And so within 24 hours, we will download this to yamchicago.org. And we are hoping that our little time together with you who are listening to us today, that this will sort of be an hour that gets us a little bit ready, more ready and focused on Holy Week, on the suffering, the passion, the death, and ultimately the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that seems to be the game plan.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
That's absolutely fine, Father Cusick.
One other thing we want to mention before we get launched into this today is what we have been doing in the Young Adult Ministry Office for the practice of Lent. And that is, if you go to our website and go to the opening page, yamchicago.org, you will find in big bold 40 ideas for the 40 days of Lent. And what we've been doing each day in the afternoon is putting up an idea for a spiritual exercise or a spiritual enterprise for the next day. And so by this afternoon, we will put up an idea for tomorrow, Thursday of the fifth week of Lent, and through the weekend, and then for the 3 days next week, which are Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of Holy Week. And each of these spiritual ideas have been either a prayer service, a meditation, an act of kindness or charity. There have been ways to discipline our lives, how to fast. We've tried to be not so much creative, but almost become an encyclopedia of information for people who are looking for a variety of ways to express their Catholic identity through the rich traditions, prayers, spiritual practices, acts of charity that we as Catholic people can perform, how we can conduct our lives during these 40 days of Lent. And then what we've attempted to do on each day at the end of our little suggestion is offer a website that may give us a little bit more information about each of the suggested spiritual ideas for Lent. And so we've been doing pretty good, Kate, with that, haven't we?
Yeah, that's been a joy. And people have been giving us some really good feedback, right. Just suggestions, things they hadn't thought of. Just ways, instead of doing one thing throughout the 40 days of Lent, just trying a variety of prayer forms and visiting churches and
right.
Stations of the Cross and just going outside of what people ordinarily think of.
We had one suggestion one day for fasting that maybe if your health permitted it, that you could skip a meal, skip lunch, and take the money that you would spend, and that could be anywhere up to $10, $15, and then go online and find a charity. That where you could give, it might be a meager amount of money, but it's coming from you, it's a part of your Lent, and it's really going to a cause that helps someone else build a better lives, a life for themselves. And so then what we've done, and if you want to go to our website and see that, we've also archived at the end of our Lenten page all the different ideas that we've put forward so far. And if you scroll down through those, you'll see how rich the tradition of Catholic spirituality really is. If you did nothing more than just click on the variety of the websites to learn more about this, you would really have almost a great, not theological education, but a good catechetical understanding of so much of our Catholic faith. And so it's been a joy. Go ahead.
And Lent is a good time to explore the rich traditions of our faith. So there are all sorts of different websites, as Father Cusick mentioned. Just click there and learn more about why we fast or different styles of prayer and meditation or the meaning of the ashes or,
exactly.
You know, we've got links to homilies from people around the country. It's just been a joy.
And there have been some daily reflections that we've discovered. For example, the Jesuits at Creighton University out in Nebraska have a daily reflection that's there. And a great Jesuit here in Chicago, Father Patrick McGrath, has put together for each day of Lent an iPodcasting. And Father Mark Link continues to put together a prayerful reflection for each day. We've asked people to, if they're looking for a way to do an act of charity, to visit a nursing home and perhaps ask at that nursing home if you could visit someone who rarely gets a visitor. So not only are you visiting the sick, which is a corporal work of mercy, but then you're also visiting someone for whom the days are long. Very few people, sometimes if any, come to visit. And I think that is really trying to present the person of Christ to someone else.
Also on our website, we do have a full calendar of events. So if you or someone you know might be interested in getting more involved in particular talks that are ongoing, different missions, different Holy Week celebrations, there are a number of opportunities to connect through our website.
And one of the traditions that many Catholic people, in which many Catholic people participate, is the visiting of churches on Holy Thursday. And I believe that there are a couple groups that have let us know that they are going to be gathering. And they're going to be visiting, as a group, some different churches in our archdiocese.
And there are some really fun ones going to happen. It is March 20th, Holy Thursday. There's going to be a bicycle pilgrimage through St. James Parish on Wabash. They invite anyone to join them for Mass at 6:30, followed by refreshments. Then at 8:30 p.m., they are leaving from the church to ride on bike.
I think
it's hysterical. I'm hoping it doesn't snow on them or something, to 6 or 7 area parishes. So what a fun opportunity that is. There's a phone number to call there. There's also a midnight pilgrimage for young adults being sponsored by the Diocese of Joliet from 7 p.m. to midnight. That's a seven-church pilgrimage that's going to begin at the Cathedral of St. Raymond. And I believe that that was the bishop's idea, Bishop Sarton's idea, and he's going to be a part of it, and that will be just an awful lot of fun. So there are some fun opportunities.
And I'm sure if any of you listening to us are aware of other pilgrimages to different churches on Holy Thursday, if you could call our office, the Young Adult Ministry office, at 312-466-9473, 312-466-9473. Let us know what that pilgrimage might entail, where it begins, the churches you might be visiting, and we will graciously put that on our website for people perhaps to join you or to meet up with you at some of the various churches in Chicago.
Excellent.
So that's Holy Thursday.
Yes.
Okay. We need to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to move into the spirituality that leads us to the sacredness of the most sacred week of our church year coming up, Holy Week.
Our Catholic faith in the land down under. Pope Benedict XVI is calling young people from around the world to join him in July 2008 for World Youth Day in Sydney, Australia.
This vibrant celebration features popular Catholic musicians, catechesis by our bishops, including our own Cardinal Francis George, and an overnight vigil mass with the Pope.
Call the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry for details on this once-in-a-lifetime spiritual journey.
The number is 773-388-8674. That number again, 773-388-8674. Join 1 million young Catholics in this global expression of Catholic faith.
Hope to see you in Sydney next July.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Welcome back to The Light Show with Father John Cusick and Dr. Kate DeVries. It's a joy to be with you, and we are discussing today, we are about to move into Holy Week, so we're talking about the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ.
We'd like to begin our little reflection with you today for the next half hour or so, and I'd like to begin it with a question that I'd like all of you who are listening, perhaps, to reflect on as we move into Holy Week, and it really is where Palm Sunday begins with the Passion of Christ. And the question is this: how does the Passion and death of Christ speak to you? What does it say to you as a believer today in Jesus Christ in the Catholic community? So the question again, if you want to write it down, keep it with you, maybe a question that I think it demands an answer from each one of us individually and from ourselves as a church collectively. How does the Passion and death of Christ speak to you? What does it say to you and to me about how we live our life and how we look on the sufferings of Jesus? Here are a few reflections from other people who have answered that question, how does the passion and death of Christ speak to you? One person wrote, "The passion and death of Jesus completely summarizes who he was and who we are if we choose to call ourselves by his name, Christian." Another person wrote, "The Christian revelation discovered in the passion and death of Jesus takes place at the intersections of love and violence, of reconciliation and rage, of the offer of love and the sentence of death." Personally, for me, Kate, I've always said that the passion and death of Christ is really very clearly about contrasts, love and hate, good and evil, life and death. There's really no middle. It really cracks open for me the real options that we can travel with in this world. You had good people doing evil things, and evil became so incarnate. And then you had the faithfulness of Christ among people who ran and fled the other way. You had the temptations. And I always am interested in my own personal reflection that if you remember in Matthew's gospel on the first Sunday of Lent, that the one line is, the devil left him to come back at another time. And we're also going to see the temptations of Christ, that Christ being tempted, amazingly, on the cross. And you're going to see three temptations there. And he's going to be tempted in the garden to sort of give up on this whole thing. And when he says, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass me by." But the classic response is the one that I always ask myself when Jesus says, "Your will, not mine, be done." Can I say that? Do I have the courage of faith or the strength of faith to say, you know, "Lord, into your hands I commend my spirit. Your will, not mine, be done." A couple other reflections of people who have answered this question that we're posing to ourselves. How does the passion and death of Christ speak to you? Jesus reveals Abba, his Father, as an everlasting offer of forgiveness and reconciliation, even in the face of human violence. Kate, I've always said, to me, one of the most powerful lines, the Lord Jesus Christ is nailed to the cross, and he can't help but look out and say, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing." The offer of forgiveness, the offer of reconciliation, which Jesus did with his entire life, continues to the very, very end. And that this speaks yeomans to me.
Also, the invitation for all of us to enter into reconciliation with God and with one another. I love this season of the year and highly, highly recommend for everyone to receive the sacrament of reconciliation. Every baptized Christian Catholic, every baptized Catholic to receive the sacrament. It's just a life-giving, freeing experience of God's love, and to be reminded, to be held, to really focus some time and energy on who we are and to know that we are loved in spite of it all. You know, Jesus offers forgiveness even against those who beat him and crucified him, and it can't get much worse than that.
And we're attempting it, and we're taking life away from him.
Yeah. So that life is freely given, and it's ours to receive, and what a blessed time it is to receive that sacrament.
Right. And there's no vengeance. There's no retaliation.
Yeah.
There's no getting even. And I'm not sure I have the strength of faith to do as Jesus did, but thank God Jesus did, because I know it's possible.
Yeah. There's a great Christian song. I forget who the composer was, but it's the sea of forgetfulness, that all of our sins are thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, that God remembers nothing. God chooses to hang on to nothing. There are no grudges. There's always the present moment, and the present moment is, "I love you, and I want you close," and you know, it's all about life in abundance. So how do we get there? So that sense of all of our past is the past in the sea of forgetfulness. Let it go.
Okay, a couple more reflections. And how does the passion and death of Christ speak to you? And this is the question today for those who are listening to us that we think is a wonderful beginning to Holy Week. And if you have some time in your day after you listen to this program, maybe it's time for to scratch down a few ideas for yourself. How does the passion and death of Christ speak to you? What does it say to you this year, 2008? Someone said, Christ hangs on the cross until the end of time to symbolize God's offer of a new way of being alive and people's refusal to accept it. That's the magic, I think, when we go into our churches. There's the crucifix. There's the crucified Christ hanging there as that constant presence and symbol to us through our scripture stories of offering a new way to be alive, offering forgiveness, offering healing, and the constant struggle in the human community to say, I'm not sure I want to do that. Someone said, in the passion and the death of Christ, we see clearly and vividly that God's plan is an endless flow of love, of life and love into God's people. He takes that life and love into the world of death. In other words, nothing and no human experiences are devoid of God's everlasting offer of life, love, forgiveness, and reconciliation. And finally, divine love does not stop at human mortality. God's love is stronger than death. And that's the revelation in our Lord Jesus Christ.
So why don't we take a break, and then we will come back and continue our reflection.
Answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
And welcome back to The Light Show with Father John Cusick and Kate DeVries. And we are spending our hour today reflecting on the passion and death of Christ, just in preparation for Holy Week coming up, starting with Sunday, Palm Sunday.
And Kate, I really think that for me, the passion of Christ begins as the Last Supper ends. Mm. And Jesus goes into the garden. And if we could, let's begin that with a little bit of a prayer that has been written by Father Victor Hoagland, who's a Passionist priest, who's done some wonderful prayerful writing on Holy Week. And so what we're going to do spiritually now, at least with our imagination, is we're going to enter with Jesus and the apostles into the garden, the Mount of Olives.
Passion of Christ strengthens me. Strengthen me under the pressure of temptation. Strengthen me when principle is at stake. Strengthen me to do your will, my God. Strengthen me in moments of suffering, in times of loneliness, in periods of depression. Strengthen me that I may never swerve from you, dear Christ, nor weaken through human respect, through a desire to be popular, through hope of social distinction. Strengthen me to accept my cross and carry it generously to the end. Amen.
Then going out, Jesus went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not undergo the test." After withdrawing about a stone's throw from them and kneeling, he prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Still, not my will, but yours be done." And to strengthen him, an angel from heaven appeared to him. He was in such agony, and he prayed so fervently that his sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. When Jesus rose from prayer, he returned to his disciples, and he found them sleeping from grief. He said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not undergo the test." And while he was still speaking, a crowd approached, and in front was one of the 12, a man named Judas. He went up to Jesus to kiss him. And he said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" His disciples realized what was about to happen, and they said, "Lord, shall we strike with a sword?" And one of them struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And Jesus said in reply, "Stop, no more of this." Then he touched the servant's ear, and he healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests and the temple guards and the elders who had come for him, "Have you come out to get me as against a robber, with swords and clubs? Day after day I was with you in the temple area, and you did not seize me, but this is your hour. This is the time for the power of darkness. Pray that you may not undergo the test." And keep this in mind from earlier in the gospel. Jesus was led into the desert to be tempted. What was the test? Remember, folks, the test was, "You are my son, my beloved." And the temptation was, what does it mean to be the beloved Son of God? And the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the journey from this time in the Mount of Olives all the way to death and burial of what does it mean to be the Son of God. And this is going to be the constant test and the temptation of Jesus Christ. And it's going to be the constant test and temptation of us pushed together during Holy Week to always say, what does it mean for us to be the son and the daughter of God? I always think in this wonderful little text, Kate, of Jesus in the on the garden, that there's a couple things here that are just so important. I always think it funny that the apostles could be sleeping, you know,
that night with Jesus in that much pain and agony.
You know, and I suppose the common thing, well, maybe they had a little too much wine at that Last Supper,
but it was late, you know.
But it certainly doesn't mean that. I think in our spiritual literature, sleeping is a symbolic way, a spiritual way, you know, of saying that it is they didn't understand. You know, I mean, we use that language a lot. Well, he was sleeping at the switch. You know, you were a teacher at one time, you know, and you say, "Hey, are you sleeping back there?" You know, and in many ways you knew that they weren't physically sleeping.
Wake up.
But they weren't getting it.
Yeah.
And I think the interesting thing here is you just wonder if we were in their place, would we be understanding as well what was really going on? This was an intense time. And I just think that perhaps the prayer for me during Holy Week is that I may stay awake, that I may be alert to the activity of God that's happening, and that I might be able to say someday, "Abba, your will, not mine, be done." And that is such a wonderful prayer, I believe, during this Holy Week as Jesus begins in the garden.
That sense of staying awake makes me think back to Advent, you know, before the birth of Christ, when we're anticipating and we're watching and staying awake, and everything around you matters. And in Lent, too, we are to heighten our senses. Everything around you matters. How are you living? How are you working? How are you interacting with those around you? How are you understanding your relationship with God? Do you understand how much God loves you? I love the stories, the Gospels we've been hearing the last couple of Sundays, starting with the Samaritan woman that Jesus approached and said, "Give me a drink," and they had this wonderful encounter, and it just, Jesus coming and life and love flowed, and the line in the Gospel that says, "Living water, I will well up within you like living water." Jesus is with us. There's always that sense of life and love. And then the blind beggar that Jesus approached. The blind beggar didn't call out to Jesus. In that gospel, 2 weeks ago, Jesus approached the blind beggar without any initiation on the beggar's part. He went up to the man and put the mud on his eyes and told the man to wash in the pool of Siloam, and the man could see again. And then after the man was thrown out of the synagogue because he didn't answer the questions the way the Pharisees had wanted him to, Jesus sought him out a second time. That sense of being sought out by the Lord. Lazarus, after he died, Jesus went to him. And Jesus now is coming to each and every one of us. If we're awake, if we watch, if we see, if we're open, we can embrace that life and love.
And I think the ultimate question of the passion and death of Christ is, can that life and love of God that Jesus poured out into the woman at the well, can that be found in the darkest, most violent, painful, difficult moments of life? And there was a thinking at the time of Christ, no, God is not found in those situations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Lord Jesus is about to show us that the love of God has no bounds. It's going to go where most people thought it never could possibly go.
Yes, yes.
That's the power of Holy Week, and that's the journey we enter into with our Lord Jesus Christ as he goes from the upper room to the Mount of Olives all the way through the stations of the cross to Golgotha, where he was crucified.
And you're absolutely right, that sense of darkness to light. That darkness exists, sin exists, but we are children of light, and we can always move toward the light. Shall we move to a song, Father Cusick?
Let's do that.
Let's listen a little bit. Ed Boldick has written a wonderful song called Make Us Your Own. So let's relax and just kind of be with God in this time.
You are the bread. celebrate senior life and spirit, Catholic Charities invites seniors of all faiths to come together in celebration of their golden years. I'm Father Mike Bolan, inviting you to join Bishop Kane and myself for Catholic Charities' annual Senior Unity Mass. It'll be held 10 a.m. Thursday, May 1st at Holy Name Cathedral at State and Superior Streets. For more information, please call 312-655-7010 or visit our website at CatholicCharities.net. Help Catholic Charities celebrate senior life and spirit.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
I gave a huge hug this morning.
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I took the baby while she worked.
I sent my husband a love email.
I've carried my wife's purse.
I shopped.
We talked.
I made my wife laugh. She's still laughing.
What have you done for your marriage today? Do something a little special. Get started at foryourmarriage.org, a message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Lord Jesus, betrayed by a loyal kiss, bound like a bandit, abandoned by your disciples, have mercy on me, O Lord. Lord Jesus, condemned to death by unjust rulers, taken as a criminal before Pilate, ridiculed by Herod, have mercy on me, O Lord. Lord Jesus, publicly stripped of your garments and cruelly flogged at the pillar, have mercy on me, O Lord. Lord Jesus, crowned with thorns, beaten and blindfolded, clothed in rich purple and mocked, have mercy on me, O Lord.
After arresting him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter sat down with them. When a maid saw him seated in the light, she looked intently at him and said, "This man too was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A short while later, someone else saw him and said, "You too are one of them." But Peter answered, "My friend, I am not." About an hour later, still another insisted, "Assuredly, this man too was with him, for he also is a Galilean." But Peter said, "My friend, I do not know what you're talking about." Just as he was saying this, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Kate, I always am fascinated by Peter in the Gospels. I mean, we're very clear that Peter was our first pope. He was the leader of the 12. And I suppose the difficulty of Peter is that leadership is so hard to achieve. Jesus was the leader. And the baton is going to be passed in so many ways to the next generation. Yeah. It's going to be Peter. And the way this marvelous little piece of gospel is set up after Jesus is arrested is from what you read in the Gospel of Luke here. Peter was following at a distance. You don't follow at a distance if you're the leader. And I think that's the spiritual symbolism of that wonderful line. He doesn't get it. You're supposed to step up, Peter. You're supposed to be the leader. But to his credit, he's trying. And like so many of us, and this has always been my reflection on this part of the gospel, I'm way in the background. And I know I belong in the front of the crowd. Mm-hmm. I know I'm supposed to lead by example. I know that our way of life is supposed to give witness to the best of Christ to other people. But sometimes it's simply more comfortable to stay in the shadows, to stay in the back a little bit. Now, folks, if you've listened to this Gospel of Luke that Kate shared with us, you're going to notice something, I think, pretty fascinating, and that Peter was put to the test here while he was following Jesus at a distance. And the test, this is really the temptations. These are the temptations of Peter. And remember when Jesus was in on the first Sunday of Lent, going back to those days right after Ash Wednesday, when Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit, how many times was he tempted? Three times. How many times was Peter tested? Temptation means test. Here, as he was following Christ, three times. This man was with him too, but he denied it. And later on, someone said, "You too are with them. I am not." And an hour later, as Kate read, "Surely this man too is with them, for he is also a Galilean." And Peter said, "My friend, I do not know what you are talking about." One time, two times, three times, Peter failed the test. He failed to commit himself to Christ. He failed to step up and lead. Instead, he succumbed to the temptation of denial, denying that he was even connected to Christ. And I think this is an interesting reprise, because I've always believed that the gospel stories of the passion and the death of Christ are all of the gospel stories condensed into all of these powerful images of Jesus being led to his own crucifixion and to his ultimate glory of the resurrection. And when the Lord said to Peter at the Last Supper, when Peter says, "I'm going to follow you," and he said, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows." What does the cock crow mean? Well, my mother was born on a farm, and oftentimes, how did the day start? My mother used to tell me when she was a little girl, the roosters would they'd crow early in the morning, and you knew that the sun was about to rise. And in Scripture, when light comes into darkness, you're able to see clearly. And I think it's the Lord Jesus saying here, "Peter, before the light of a new day, when you're still in darkness, you're going to deny me. And when the cock crows, you're going to see clearly the truth that you just didn't quite do it here." And yet we're going to see in this gospel on Palm Sunday that the Lord turns and he looks at Peter. And he always looks with the love of God. Even in the denial, he's still reaching out. And that is a very, very powerful image in sacred time for me. So the question for all of us is, can we say, "I'm with you, Lord"? Can we move from the darkness into the light? And in the light of a new day, does the actions of our lives reveal the faithfulness of Christ to other people?
So now we'll move into a musical reflection on the Stations of the Cross by Hummerding and Kyle.
Jesus kneels in sorrow praying, knows his fate, God's will obeying. Let your will, not mine, be done. Meeting Pilate's earthly power, Jesus lives in final hours, confident in heaven's might. In the weight of cross being torn, Jesus feels the heavy burden of our frail Simon with Jesus.
Michael Fosberg was raised as part of a typical white middle-class family in Waukegan. When he was in his mid-30s, Fosberg met his biological father, who, much to his surprise, was African-American.
In the one sense, yes, I felt so much fear and confusion, but at the same point, I also felt so much joy and elation, because all my life I have felt connected to African-American people, African-American culture.
Fosberg has turned his unique experience into a critically acclaimed one-person play called Incognito. It deals with race, prejudice, and life's difficult choices. Here's Sister Anita Baird of the Archdiocesan Office for Racial Justice.
It's about the personal journey. And I think the whole struggle as we try to build better race relations really is about the personal journey of every person and to see how we really are connected. And sometimes, even though we don't realize it, we're more connected than we are disconnected.
Experience Incognito on Friday evening, April 4th, at the Holy Name Cathedral Auditorium. Order tickets by calling 312-751-8336. That's 312-751-8336.
You are slaying the dragon. You are going out there and taking on the biggest confrontation of your life. But it is all about who you are, ultimately, and your identity is all wrapped up into that.
Do you know what's going on in your church, around the corner, or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
In our last little segment together this day, we're going to focus now on the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A prayer. Look on me, Lord Jesus Christ, as you looked on the thief on this cross, and every sinner whom you've ever forgiven. Look upon me, merciful Lord, as you looked on your mother Mary, standing in sorrow beneath your cross. Let me feel in my heart her compassion for you, and let my eyes weep for the sorrows my sins have caused. Call me from darkness to my Father's house. Give me a new heart and a place at your side at the banquet of your kingdom. Amen.
Amen. We continue now with the Gospel according to St. Luke. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They divided his garments by casting lots. The people stood by and watched. The rulers, meanwhile, sneered at him and said, He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the chosen one, the Messiah of God. Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. Above him there was an inscription that read, This is the King of the Jews. Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. The other, however, rebuked him, saying in reply, Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He replied, Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. because of an eclipse of the sun. Then the veil of the temple was torn down the middle. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And when he said this, he breathed his last. The centurion who witnessed what had happened glorified God and said, This man was innocent beyond doubt. When all the people who had gathered for this spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances stood at a distance, including the women who had followed him from Galilee and saw these events.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Kate, when I was a little boy, growing up in Little Flower Parish in the South Side, for some reason or other, not that anybody taught me this, I always felt that the crucifixion of Christ was a real passive time. Poor Jesus is hanging there. And life is going out little by little by little until, as you read, he breathed his last. But amazingly, as I reflect on these rich stories of the crucifixion of Christ and on the meaning that these wonderful gospel writers are conveying to us because of their faith, this is not a passive Jesus. This is a very active Jesus, even until the last moments of life. First of all, when you read this marvelous, powerfully put together text of the crucifixion according to Luke, the first thing, Jesus is raised high. And what's the first thing? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The life of Christ is one of offering people forgiveness, reconciliation, and communion with God. And he does that from the cross. I never caught that as a little kind of a boy. But this is an act of Jesus in death, doing what he always did. It's that faithfulness to the will of God and offering them, Father, forgive them. It's just an amazing thing. And then, when you went on, here we've got three temptations. Remember the Gospel of Matthew, as we mentioned earlier in our time together today, that the temptations of Christ ended with the line, and the devil left him to come back at another time. Well, folks, here's the other time. There were three temptations in the desert, and there are three temptations in the Gospel of Luke of Christ on the cross. And they're all caught up in a crazy kind of a way with titles. People are so obsessed with what a title means. You're a priest. Well, what does, is this what a priest does? We've all got these ideas. Well, here the first temptation that, Kate, you shared with us is that the rulers of the people sneered and said, if you're the chosen one, if you're the Messiah, then what you've got to do is you got to save yourself, and then, by the way, maybe you can save others too. So they've got this idea that it's about physical salvation, physical safety. And so that's the first temptation. If this is who you are, that's no different than the devil in the temptation in the desert saying, well, if you are the Son of God, then you've got power. Turn these stones into bread. So the first one is, if you really are, and these are the rulers, the leaders of the people, who we all know, they weren't just rulers, they were religious leaders. So they're supposed to know better. The second temptation is the pagans, the soldiers, the Romans, who hated the Jews. This absolutely hated them. And so they play the king card. If you are the king of these people, this is what you have to do. Save yourself. The second temptation. And the third temptation is one of the two criminals hanging next to Christ. And he uses the Messiah. Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself, and then we know that the Messiah is going to save all of us. And by the way, once you save yourself, get us out of here too. The third temptation. The devil has come back on the cross of Christ to do what evil always does. Try to turn us away from our own identity and from our own best self. And what was the temptation of Christ? The test was, what does it mean to be the beloved Son of God? And here we are on the cross, that temptation taking place. And for me, what a tender, tender moment. The other criminal who's hanging next to Jesus is the only one there who does not use a title. He uses a name. He doesn't say, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Messiah, if you are the King. What does he do? He simply says, Jesus, please remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus. And remember, the name Jesus is the one given, which means the one who saves his people from their sins. That's Jesus. No other title. And the amazing thing for me is here is this criminal bound to wood, nailed there is Jesus, literally reaching out to the source of life, saying, would you just remember me? And the response of Christ to me is such a powerful one. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Now, I always thought that today's a long time. Sometime later on, you know, today it's early. This is morning. You know, today goes all the way. No, no, no. What does today mean spiritually? Today is right now. Today is this moment that you are hearing this and this moment that Kate and I are sharing with you. And so this is Jesus' way of saying, right now, you will be with me in paradise. And what's paradise? Obviously, that's a reference to Genesis. And what was paradise? It was the Garden of Eden. And that's where Adam and Eve walked in the cool of the evening. But who were they with in the Garden of Eden? They were with Yahweh God. That was paradise. Humankind, man and woman, with the author of life, their God. They were connected. They were in full communion. That was paradise. And what is the Lord Jesus saying to this one who reached out to him? Not to condemn, not to test, but to simply say, would you remember me in your kingdom? He says, right now, you are with me in paradise. Because right now, you are connected to God. Right now, you are in communion with God because God is reaching out in love to you, one who is seen by the world as a criminal. It's that search of Jesus with the woman at the well, pouring life-giving water into people. And then finally, nobody took Jesus' life. He breathed his last. He laid his life down freely, he said, so that he could take it up again. What a wonderful experience for us. And how did he do it? He breathed his last. How did Yahweh God create Adam? He breathed into his nostril the breath of life. From beginning to end, God is breathing life into people. We pray that you have a blessed, blessed Holy Week. And we will see you at the resurrection.
And we strongly encourage all of us to attend and fully enjoy the celebrations that will be happening over the next week and a half or so. Thank you so much for listening. We want to call to your attention one workshop that we'll be doing on Wednesday, March 26th. We are leading a workshop on caring for aging parents. It's an issue that many, many young adults are struggling with. So if we can help you with that, please go on to our website. And again, enjoy the good news that Father Cusick and I have shared this morning. Have a wonderful, blessed Holy Week.
And go out into the world.
Go out in the world. Go out in the world. Tell everyone the good, good news.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.